This is the third time this year you've been sent to the office. We need to find a better outlet.
Maybe I could, if you'd let me go out for sports.
Honey, you know why we can't do that.
I promise I'll slow up. I'll only be the best by a tiny bit.
You are an incredibly competitive boy, and a bit of a show-off.
You always say, do your best, but you don't really mean it. Why can't I do the best that I can do? Dad always said our powers were nothing to be ashamed of. Our powers made us special.
Everyone's special, Dash.
Which is another way of saying no one is.
And that's from The Incredibles. That's adorable. And it rings true. Have you ever been in the situation where you are very good at something and you hold back? You can't tell people because if you say, oh, I did so well in school today, or my performance in singing or dance or on the soccer field was so great, and I can't talk about it because people will think that I'm showing off, or that I'm or they'll be envious of me, and I don't want to have to deal with their envy. So how do you hold your own? How do you hold that internal pride of doing your best, loving your life, and not letting anybody stand in your path, and yet also not having the view that people are there to take advantage of, or that you're so needy that you need to show off? I'm Dr. Ellen Kenner. My show's The Rational Basis of Happiness. And you can call me about any concerns you have that you would like to ask a counselor or a therapist. It's free. And even though it's not therapy, it's an opportunity to pick up the phone and ask me any question that you would like about yourself, about your in-laws, about your kids, about work problems or stress management. My number's toll-free, 1-877-DR-KENNER. That's toll-free, 1-877-DR-KENNER. And right now I'm turning to the phones and welcoming Kathleen. Kathleen, welcome to the show.
Thank you. How are you?
I'm doing well. Tell me, what's your situation?
I have trouble with my emotions. I let everything make me cry.
Okay.
Good and bad. I take innocuous comments as a criticism. For instance, I was watching a show one day and laughing, and my husband said, oh, that's funny. And I took that as a threat, like he didn't. I just went off the handle and couldn't control myself.
Yeah, what specifically did you say to him?
Something about having to watch the stupid stuff he watches that I'm not interested in. I don't even remember, but I remember like standing outside of myself and thinking, what are you doing? All he did is ask you if it was funny, you know?
Yeah, but you took it as if he asked you what? He was questioning your judgment?
Maybe that's what it is. I don't know, but it's everything. If I have a suggestion given to me at work, I take it as a personal attack. You know, if my daughter says, Mom, I wish you would do this, I take that as an attack, like I'm not being a good enough mom or whatever.
So partly, you're very critical of yourself.
Because, oh, extremely.
Yeah, tell me something that you do very, very, very well, Kathleen, that nobody could criticize you on, whether you bake brownies or something that you're very proud of.
Jeez, I don't know. I crochet. I'm extremely logical. I like to work puzzles, things like that.
So if somebody told you that you don't know how to crochet, what's your gut response?
I'd probably cry and want to show them that, yes, I do.
Oh, so what I'm hearing is that you want to give yourself the gift of having a standard of judgment so that you're not wobbling all over the place. Any criticism is valid. That's what it seems like it's like in your own mind.
Yeah.
That you take them seriously and they're the ruler, the standard of judgment. When I say ruler, I think of a yardstick or what is your standard of judging yourself? And I had to learn. I used to think that I always needed to please other people, and if they liked me, then I liked me.
Yes, I can relate to that.
And I had to jump that hurdle. Very fortunately, I met my husband, who did not come at the world that way, and he totally intrigued me because he was his own person, and he would tell me things like, you know, I'd say, how's the steak? And that I just cooked him as, you know, we were newly married, and he'd say, oh, it's rubbery. And part of me would be saying, you're supposed to say it's nice. You're supposed to say everything I do is nice. And another part of me was saying, he's being honest. I'm not used to this. And I was liking it, and I'm thinking that he's right, but it was like you standing outside of yourself and saying, I shouldn't be picking on my husband, but mm-hmm. I'm still doing it. It's like you have some awareness that you're off base with that. So here's what I recommend. Our emotions are wonderful tools that we can use as detective work. And if you're crying all the time, then that to me tells me that you're experiencing very big losses, because tears come from loss, sadness, depression, feeling down in the dumps. That's the emotion we feel when we're dealing with loss. Yeah, so what
it hits it right on the head, because I lost my mother when I was a very young child.
Okay, tell me.
I can't let go of that, and I have a horrible fear.
Of what?
Of losing something, someone, anything.
So of losing your top values, anything that you hold dear to you. I'm not saying this is it. I'm asking you.
No, but well, that makes sense, because it's like I don't even want to like me enough to be disappointed in myself. I don't know how to explain this.
So this is what is considered delayed grieving. I mean, it's complicated grieving. You had trauma as a very young child. Tell me what happened with your mom.
She died of cancer.
How old were you?
I was 4.
4 years old?
Yeah.
Wow, what do you remember about that?
Well, that's my problem. I've tried to get a memory of her. Any memory. I was
no pictures?
Her spanking me. Yes, I have some pictures.
Yeah.
It's not a first-hand memory type thing, and it bothers me because I had to go stay with family because she couldn't take care of us.
Yeah.
So
you mean before the age of 4?
Right.
Yeah.
I didn't have very much time with her anyway, and I think that's what it all comes down to. But then I think, Mike, you're an adult. You know, grow up. It's silly.
Okay, don't do that to yourself, because would you tell me if I lost someone I loved to grow up and get over it? It's silly.
No, but I get very upset at people that get angry at their mothers because they have them. You know what I'm saying? And maybe that's why I get angry when my daughter gets angry with me or criticizes me or makes a suggestion at me, because I think, my God, you have me.
So the contrast of having no mother versus having you with a couple of times when you might be cranky, or like all of us, maybe not the perfect mother at times, your loss is so profound that how could anybody complain about their mother?
Right.
So here's what I recommend. Can you see how much you've gained just from this short conversation? That you're learning about judging yourself, you're learning that sadness is loss, and you were able immediately then to figure out what the most profound loss was for you, and now you're even able to understand your own snappiness, your anger. I would highly recommend cognitive therapy. Let me give you the website for that. Are you still there, Kathleen?
Yes, I'm here.
I know we're coming right down to the last few seconds here. It's the academyofct.org. O-R-G. And you could also get a book, Mind Over Mood, on my website, drkenner.com. And
Mind Over Mood?
Mind Over Mood. It's at my website, drkenner.com. And if you hang on, I'd like to just touch base with you during the break. I'm Dr. Ellen Kenner, and you're listening to The Rational Basis of Happiness.
Here's an excerpt from The Selfish Path to Romance, the Serious Romance Guidebook by clinical psychologist Dr. Ellen Kenner and co-author Dr. Edwin Locke.
It's important to identify the emotions you're feeling, such as sadness or loneliness. Then you can proceed to identify their specific causes. If a strong emotion is based on mistaken ideas or values, you can proceed to change it by consciously correcting the wrong ideas each time you feel that emotion. You can also work to change any future actions or events that precipitated your emotion. Eventually, the emotion will change. Since emotions are automatic, changing them can take some time and may require professional counseling. Changing old thinking habits, challenging old ideas, and replacing them with healthier ones takes motivation, the learning of new skills, effort, and practice.
You can download Chapter 1 for free by going to drkenner.com, and you can buy the book at amazon.com.